So this series that we're kicking off for Advent, for me, there comes a time or a few times during the year where I am obligated to preach a certain thing. I mean, you know, it's Advent time. So you know, over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be talking about Jesus arriving as a baby. So every year, I try to figure out, all right, how am I going to tell the story this year? Let's see. So we're going to see how I tell the story this year. And I bet most of you have heard it before. If you've watched the Charlie Brown Christmas, you've heard it before. You've seen it. So Biff will wake you up when it's time to leave. Okay. But I don't want to think of it that way. And I want to think of it as this hope that as we look at rediscovering Christmas during difficult times. And this is a difficult time for many of us. It's a difficult time. It's a difficult time for our country. Our country is very divided. It's a very difficult time when we see the news and go through. So rediscovering Christmas, what Christmas is, in the midst of all that. So we have these traditions. The word Advent means arrival, all right? The coming, the arrival. And so it's the arrival of Jesus. The arrival of Jesus. And there's this big theological word that is incarnation. Now that has nothing to do with being in a can of evaporated milk. Okay? The incarnation is God pouring himself into a human being to walk amongst us, to bring his message to us. And that gets like, well, why? Why would he do that? And I used to explain it to my grandkids, and still when they're young enough that I'll remind them. We'd be out in the yard and see a little ant pile. And I'll say, let's pretend for a minute that these ants, the end is coming. They have no idea that the end is coming and there's no hope for them. And you really love ants, so you want to tell them. You want to get the message to them. Ants, you got to move. You got to do something. There's a flood coming. There's a fire coming. There's an anteater coming. There's whatever it is. You're looking at those ants and telling them, how do I tell them? And they'll always say, well, we could pick them up and move them. And I'll say, okay, let's give that a try. And like I remember Calvin leaning over to pick one up. He doesn't do it in Florida because those babies sting. But pick one up, bring it up, and go, that's dead. Dead. I killed the ant by trying to move it. Dang, that's not good. All right, well, what can you do? Well, I could move them with my foot. And I said, what about the ones underground? Oh, no, but you're trying to get to the message. Ants, you gotta move. The end is coming. You gotta move. Because you love the ants. He's like, I do? I don't really love the ants. I said, but we're talking about God and us, right? So we're pretending that you're God and these ants are us. And you're like, ants, you're in tremendous danger, but I love you. I want you to live with me. What are you going to do? And he thought for a while. He said, if only I could become an ant and go down and tell them all, then that would be the way to do it. I said, and that is what Christmas is. When God poured himself into mankind, into a human, he was fully God, but fully man. And so he brought his message to say, I love you. I have abundant life for you. I have a better way to live for you. I have something better for your marriage. I have something better for your family. I have something better for your perspective, for your outlook. I have hope. I have something better for you. So, but the problem was, Cal, some of those ants, you came down and you did amazing things, and you made a blind ant able to see, and you made a dead ant come to life, and people watched and they saw you. But some ants said, that guy's crazy. That guy needs to be stopped. Some of the powerful ants got really scared. We're going to lose our power. They're following him instead of us. We should kill that ant. So the light bulb kind of comes on for him. Oh, that's incarnation. That's incarnation. So we have these traditions in talking about the arrival of Christ. This thing over here, this is an Advent wreath. You got that? So it says in the book of John, right after they went to supper, they went and lit the Advent wreath. No, it doesn't say that. There was no Advent wreath. In fact, I was like, where does this Advent wreath come from? How many of you guys have an Advent calendar at home where your kids reach in and pull out chocolates or whatever, and it counts down the days? Why do you have that? Because they drive you nuts. They drive you nuts. How many days till Christmas? How many days? How many days? How many days? It's coming next year, probably. It's coming. Mary's going to be like, how many days? You know, and so you got this Advent calendar. Well, this thing here, in 1839, a German pastor by the name of Johann Heinrich Weikern, it would be in German, right? Weikern. He worked with poor children in a mission school. They were pestering him. How many days? How many days? So he developed the first Advent calendar. He took a cart wheel. So if you've ever wondered where the term cartwheel comes from, you know that. But cartwheel, and you know the spokes that go around. Well, he decided, I'm going to take 24 candles and put them around this wheel. And he used little candles for the days of the week. And then he used some larger white candles for Sundays to show, hey, a whole week has passed, another week has passed, another week has passed, until they'd get knowing 24 days, oh, tomorrow is Christmas because all the candles have been lit. So this was that first Advent calendar for kids that has become part of the tradition. It's part of the tradition. So I looked, I said, okay, we got this Advent calendar, and it's cute. We have the little kids come up to read. Every church I've ever been in, we do it every year, and we can't hear the kids, and we can't hear this and that, but it's our tradition, so we continue to do it. So, church said, we like that. Man, that's a lot of candles. How, since we only meet on Sunday, let's boil it down a little bit. Let's boil it down. And so they reduced it to four candles for the four Sundays. And a lot of churches will have that white candle in the middle. Ours will appear on Christmas Eve. It'll come and it'll be right in the middle and representing the arrival of the Christ child. It'll be in the middle there, and we will light that. But 100 years later, when Christmas wreaths became a thing, people said, wouldn't that little ring thing up there with the four candles, wouldn't it look prettier if we did this? And so they made a wreath out of it. Now, we got a birdie. Reg put in a birdie this year, a little cardinal. It's cute, it's beautiful. So I looked, I said, okay, so that was about 100 years ago. I said, what's the deal with the colors? What's the deal with the colors? Because I know some churches have different colors. Like what? We got, and every year I have to look up, when is Pink Candle Sunday? Is today pink? And I get nervous. There's pressure being your pastor. I'm like, if we light the pink candle on the wrong day, what will happen? There's a lot of pressure. Pink Candle Day is like the third Sunday. And I was like, what? Who decided on the colors? And they said, well, the Lutherans, with their liturgical calendar, decided purple. Purple for penitence, for fasting, and being kind of regretting and saying, Lord, forgive us for what we've done, and we do this. But when that third Sunday comes and we light the pink candle, woohoo, that's joy. It's Joy Sunday, so you can all be happy that day. But then I said, well, what's the deal? How come some churches have blue candles and a pink candle? They still have the pink candle. Well, some churches said, you know what? Grace has forgiven us our sin that we did before and our sin that we will do next. It's done it for all. Once we say we're going to follow Jesus, it's done it for all times. And so we're all set. So we want to focus on blue. Let me see. I even wrote down the name. It's called, in case any of you want to do your candles at home, it's called Sarum Blue, S-A-R-U-M. Sarum Blue, and those churches say, we're going to stress hope and expectation. Hope and expectation with the blue. So I thought, my goodness, I thought this went back thousands of years. Nah, just a couple hundred years in Germany. Now, tradition is cool. A lot of people find comfort in tradition. Comfort in tradition. Because we know every year we look forward to it. We remember it as children, and that's good. But when we keep adding so many traditions that we keep layering and layering and layering and layering so that so many traditions start making the story difficult to tell, then it becomes a problem. But I thought having a little course to start off with would help us to understand what's going on here. Next Sunday, we will light, which one? Peace? I think it's peace next week. Somebody look it up. Go Google. What candle are we lighting the second? Because that week I'll be preaching about peace, or it will be love. I think peace or love. Love might be the last one. Peace is next week. Okay, so we know that from our outline we've put. So look forward. Next week's going to be very peaceful. Come. Okay. So today, it's Hope Sunday. It's Hope. Anybody here named Hope? Too bad. You lose. So my objective by the end of our time together, my objective is that I hope we'll all understand how to better handle those times when we feel stuck in discouragement, depression, and that we'll understand how to choose to be hopeful in those difficult times. So we've got three things we're going to look at today. That hope is coming, we're going to talk about waiting with hope, and we're going to talk about lessons that we learn in hope. So let's see. Hey, Tom, you want to come up and read for us? Want to come up and read from Luke 2? I gotta raise this for Tom. Yeah, that's right. All right. You can either scroll through this if you want. It's the NLT. And just scroll. All right. There you go.
Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Sovereign Lord," it's in there twice. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem.
Thank you, Tom. We figured it out. So, that passage, that whole passage, what you see is that hope is coming. Hope is coming. And Simeon and Anna in Luke 2 are basically like the original hope influencers. Okay? They are there and they're talking about the coming Messiah, what God is bringing. And they're there for a long time, their whole lives, waiting for this child, this Messiah, to show up, and that God does what he promised. They didn't know how or when. They just kept showing up. So the first thing, they were waiting for what seems like forever. And the second thing is they kept showing up. They kept showing up in hope, believing God. See, honestly, if any of us had to wait like that, man, we would have given up by year two, or even year one, and some of us by minute 20, and said, "Oh, I'm bored." I mean, honestly, you want to think about what are the things that you do not like waiting for? What are some of the things you don't like waiting for? Waiting for a green light. Do you know how many guys sit there and go, "This light broken. This light is broken. I'm pretty sure this light is broken." And just about the time you're like, "I'm going through it," it turns green. That happens to me all the time. It's like that light must be like 4 minutes long. And so sometimes I'll time them and go, "That was 45 seconds. But it seemed like 2 days. It seemed like 2 days. What annoys you what you're waiting for? What annoys you? Yeah, that one. Brielle will let you know that she has been waiting long enough, right? Even a child will tell you when they're tired of the waiting. And it's not long for some of them. How about when you go to the doctor's? You sit there and go, "Okay, I'm in my schedule to be here. You said at 3. It is now 3:45. I get tempted to leave and send them a bill. Any of you guys in that? You're like, "What is going on?" But here's Simeon and Anna waiting and waiting and waiting. But for them, one random day, hope walks in, and there's something about it that they recognize. This is more than an ordinary child. Because remember, they were doing the firstborn child. firstborn male, this was something that was being done regularly. It wasn't like he was the first baby to come to the temple, right? They had seen this thousands of times. But something piqued their interest of this is the one. And both of them. See, God's always faithful to his promises. And hope, a hope that is lasting, sees beyond what is. It says in Romans 8, 24-26, it says this: we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So waiting for hope, hope that sees beyond the muck of what's happening right now. Hope that's able to say, I depend on the promises of God. I know that God's going to come through. And I will wait. I will endure until he does. I know his promises for me. I know his promise in Scripture is that he'll never leave me, never forsake me. I know that is true. But right now, it doesn't feel like it is. Right now, it doesn't feel. And so often we go on our feelings when it comes to hope. I remember waiting for my liver transplant for that year. Waiting and just waiting and waiting and wondering if I'm going to be alive in another month. Wondering. And there were times that I lost my hope. That lady over there, she didn't lose her hope. Yeah, I swear she wanted to smack me around sometimes. To say, hey, she used to say, don't talk like that. Don't even say that. And I'd say, I remember one conversation that I said was after the transplant. And man, I was in pain, like incredible. And she came in and she said, how are you doing? I said, that's it. I want to throw in the towel. And she looked around and she said, no towels here. No towels here. So we're not talking that way. We're going to get through today. So I hadn't relied on her hope. And that's what we do sometimes as a church. When we don't have any hope because things are so terrible here, so terrible right in the right now, we can rely and depend on the hope of others to say, I'm gonna steal some of your hope right now. I'm gonna take a little bit of your strength right now to get me through this. It's trusting that God is actually doing something behind the scenes, even when we don't feel it. Even when we don't feel it. See, it's like you looking and saying, all right, we're spending a whole bunch of money as a family today to go see hundreds of thousands of Christmas lights. We're going to drive, you know, like an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes to Lupe Arbor and go to Garden City Glow. I hope it is a clear night. I really hope it is. But you know what? The weather forecast says 83% chance of showers. So even though I have the hope, I also prepare. I'm also going to prepare. Let's see who's super stupid. And I have this. Yeah, listen. Unbelievable. It's not a problem.
Oh, definitely gonna rain now.
Oh, definitely gonna rain now. I just made it so. But my point is, we prepare knowing that God is faithful to his promises. So even though it rains today, we're gonna have a great time. We're gonna have a great time. We could be complaining as a family and go, oh, why is it that when we go, it's always this? I think it's against us. I think and be all upset. So often, we take our emotions and we'll think, oh, I feel anxious. I shouldn't feel anxious. I feel anxious. I'll be like, what's happening in your life? Well, tomorrow I'm taking my final exam and I'm taking the bars and I feel anxious. Well, yeah, you're supposed to feel anxious. There's a book to read if you're dealing with the emotions that I read about a year ago. It's called The Happiness Trap by Russ Harris. The Happiness Trap. That we all now have this expectation through all the marketing and what's on TV that everybody is supposed to be happy at every moment. That is life. And if you're not, you need to cash things in, you need to change things, you need to get out of there. Because you deserve to be happy at every moment. There's no guarantee of that. There's no guarantee of that. There are different times through life where we feel happy, times where we feel discouraged, times when we walk through the muck. And when Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Take heart, I'm bigger than the world. So when you're stuck in the muck, it's to have that hope that I know God is bigger than this. And I choose to put my hope in Him. Here, this quote that I put up here. Waiting with hope is trusting that God's story is still loading, even if you feel stuck on the loading screen. You know when you're trying to load something on your computer or your phone and you have that little circle? Robin and I call that the spinning wheel of death. I don't know. I've got the spinning wheel of death. It's spinning. And because we are like we are in our society, where things are supposed to be instant and we're feeling persecuted when we don't have fast enough Wi-Fi connection, we're like, oh! The spinning wheel of death. We're doom scrolling on our phones and looking at the bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news for an hour and a half instead of looking at the promises of God and saying, you know what? In this world, I'm going to have trouble. But I'm going to choose to take heart, to have hope, because Jesus is bigger than this world. That's what makes the difference. Some days we're going to have to walk with an umbrella to get through the pouring rain. Some days the rain is going to fall. It's going to fall. But our God has promised that He's still writing our story. So, lessons about hope. When you look here at Romans 5, 3 through 5, this is kind of like tough love wisdom. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. For we know they help us develop endurance. How many of us, when we're hitting something bad, go, oh, this is awesome! Think of all the endurance I'm getting! We don't tend to think that way. When we're going to something important and we get stuck in a traffic jam, we don't sit there and think, oh, praise Jesus. Just think of all the endurance I'm getting. I think we should. That'd be interesting. Watch how long before you're a teenager to just jump out of the car. Jump out of the car. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. So did you get that? Suffering builds perseverance. Perseverance builds character. And then character builds hope. It's kind of the recipe. It's kind of the recipe that we go through in life. It's like the CrossFit of hope. The CrossFit of hope. You know, you're not ever going to grow in your faith sitting on the couch in your comfort zone. You don't grow in your faith unless you're stretched. And sometimes we have to stretch ourselves. We have to stretch ourselves. Robin and I have a tradition that I don't share with you to get any accolades for it or anything, but something we felt years ago that the Lord kind of put on us to do, where we set aside money every year and try to, if we can find that single mom who's just kind of having a difficult time, and we just either send it to them, you know, a few $100 in an envelope, or drop it at their house or whatever, try to be unknown. In many years, that was a stretch. It was hard. It was like, we don't feel like we have a whole lot of money, and money is tight, but we felt like God was saying, hey, do this. And we've done that. And each time, God's been faithful. He's been so faithful every time that we've stepped out and been stretched. And each time, we've faced some rain. We've faced some difficulty for obeying God and being like, I think God wants us to do this. It's so cool because we'll both be thinking of something. And then we'll talk about it. We had one time someone that we knew, a neighbor, whose dad passed away suddenly. And he was out in the Midwest. And this was a single mom, and she didn't have much to put together to be able to even go out to his funeral. And so Robin came home and she said, you know, I've kind of been thinking we should do something. And I said, it's weird. I've been thinking the same thing, that God wants us to do something. And she said, well, what do you think we should do? And I said, well, what I'm thinking is crazy. It's too big. So with what's going on in our life, she said, no, tell me. And I said, I'm thinking that we should give her $500 so she can pay for the flight to go out there. And Robin said, yep, that's the number I have too. We didn't have that money. We weren't able to be like, we weren't rolling in the dough. We certainly weren't poor, but it stretched us. And that woman experienced the grace of God that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to us. You think when your neighbors that you barely even know pay for your flight to go to your dad's funeral? Then people go, but it's this love that surprises us. God's in the business of love that surprises us. So we grow when we're stretched. Simeon and Anna's decades of waiting shaped them into people that God would use. So we can have hope in the muck. Suffering builds perseverance. Perseverance builds character. And character builds hope. I have a video that we're going to watch together. Just 4 minutes or so. It just kind of puts everything together for me. We're hoping it'll be loud enough because our computer is a bit silly. If it isn't, we can save it for next week.
Unfreeze. Good job, everybody. Let's take a few minutes. Good job.
Woo. It is like 1,000 degrees out here. No thanks to global warming.
Again, global warming and hot flashes, two totally different things.
I'm starving. Can we please take a snack break already?
You ate a whole bag of cheese puffs 15 minutes ago, Jim.
And?
Marty, we've been at this day and night for a week. We're exhausted. Besides, it's not really a live nativity. We have stuffed animals.
Look, everyone, we make do with what we've got. This is our last performance of the Nativity, and we have been entrusted with this esteemed honor.
Esteemed honor of carrying out a 103-year-old tradition by the oldest church in Corncatcher County. We got you. Yeah, we got your little pep talk about 10 pep talks ago.
Amen to that. Can anybody even see me back here?
I've got hay fever, Marty. Do you know what irritates hay fever, Marty? Hey.
Sorry about that, Bob. I tried to find hypoallergenic hay, but the men at the feed store just laughed at me.
Why am I in the bag? Did I mention I was a stand-in on an episode of Touched by an Angel?
Highway to Heaven trumps Touched by an Angel every time, sister.
Apparently you've never seen an episode of Charlie's Angels.
It's not the same thing, bub.
I'm smelling an undertone of a hazelnut. No, wait. Yep, definitely hazelnut.
I think it's plastic.
Look, Marty, none of us signed up for this.
You signed up for this. Literally, you all signed up for this.
My wife signed me up for this. I'm out.
I signed up to play Mary.
And nobody would believe that.
Whatever happened to making do with what you've got, Marty?
Let's go, guys. These Applebee's coupons don't use themselves. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back,
no,
baby
no,
back.
No, 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 no.
I want my baby back.
It's not the same restaurant.
I was buy one, get one.
Okay,
you
listen.
Out of line.
No, 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 line.
No.
I was trying to put on a show.
No, don't come in here like that. Right? I know, right? He's got a deal. He had a plan and a move, and you're trying to tell us. You're not in charge of the whole world. That's not the way this works. No, that's not the truth. And you know it. My friend was just going to try to help us. He's trying to be a good steward and helping us, and you're jumping in on all of this.
Oh, look at you. So tiny and peaceful and perfect. A lot like baby Jesus. He deserved so much more. But this was God's plan. God gave him a mommy to take care of him. He chose shepherds to tell everyone. Wise men came and visited him. God even gave him an earthly daddy. A lot of imperfect people. But God always makes do with what he's got. And that perfect little baby grew up and saved us all. He showed us what real love looks like. A love that cost him everything. I just adore him.
Because he's bigger. Lord, he's bigger than all of that. And Father, I pray that as we go, that we would have a season of hope. Lord, that this week we might focus on hope. In Jesus' name, amen.